Before we get into some of the things that we've talked about this week, I want to give a word of thanks to all of you for allowing me to teach this class and go through the study in the book of Romans. As much as you may have learned from this study as we've gone through it over the past 6 months, I can pretty much guarantee that I've probably learned more. And so I appreciate the opportunity in order to teach, because in that preparation to do so, I've learned quite a bit and understood things more fully. And so I really appreciate the fact that I was able to do so. So thank you all for allowing that to happen. Okay, so we finished the book of Romans and going through it chapter by chapter, kind of verse by verse for the most part. There's a lot in it, isn't there? It's full of everything. Lots of different things that Paul touches on, some easy to understand, some hard to understand. But I want to get into a little bit of the things that you drew out from it and what you did. I've got some responses that people have also sent me, so I can also share those here with us this evening. But I'd like to start off with the people that are on Zoom. Usually you get muted and you can't really participate in the same way that the members of the class are. So I'm putting you at the front of the line, where you now have the ability to share a little bit about what you have learned at this point. So does anybody on Zoom have anything that they want to share, that what they've taken away from the book of Romans? Okay, go ahead, Mondo.
First of all, I want to thank you, Mark, for teaching. I love how you teach. Starting in Romans 13 and 14, I've learned a lot about the passing of judgments and the learning of, I wrote things down here. Fulfilling the law, you know, the law through love, like loving your neighbor and killing, not killing, and all that. I've known it because of knowing the commandments, but reading it the way it has it in Romans is really understanding a lot more.
Yeah, and isn't that really what the scriptures is all about? These things were written to different people that, quite frankly, were not us. We weren't born yet at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, while it's always intended for all of mankind, it certainly had a distinctive audience that it was going towards. But yet there are so much that's talked about for those people that we find helpful with how we live our lives today, right? So when you think about that, in any book of the Bible that you study, you think about who the audience is, who it's going towards, and then saying, wow, I have some of these same things going on in my life. This is how I should be acting in the same way. I'm just like those people, right? I have those same issues that we have to deal with. So that's what we should always be cognizant of, is looking for the things and the applications in our lives. So I'm glad that you took away from that how you interact with others. Mm-hmm. Anybody else on Zoom? Anne?
So first, I want to thank everybody for allowing me to participate and letting me join in, those people on Zoom. It's been nice to have a friendly face say hi to me every Wednesday. And it's been very nice to hear everybody's different thoughts and opinions. It's been great for me to learn from not just Mark, who's done a great job teaching, but from everybody else that's shared their points of view and their scriptures that they found that supported their opinion. So it's been nice to flip through the Bible and find those points and read that after the class. For me, my favorite chapter in this, which was, I enjoyed chapter 13, and I also enjoyed chapter 12, talking about the gifts that we have that have been granted to us by God. So the things that we've been given that we are really good at, that we should continue to practice, but those things that we maybe are not that great at, but we're still expected to try. So it was a nice thing to hear, and it was a reminder to use the things I'm good at and to try to get better at the things that I are not necessarily my strength. So thank you all for allowing me to participate with you.
Yeah, thanks for the comments. Mimi, and that certainly is something we need to be aware of in what we're doing. In the things that we have available to us that God has granted us that we have an abundance of, well, there's a reason we have that abundance, right? It's to be able to use those things to do that. And there's times when we're like, hey, I'm not as good at this, but that gives us the opportunity to get better, use those skills in a different way, right? So we need to always remember those things. And if there's something that's like, ah, I'm not so great at that, well, how do you get better at something? You practice it. Right. You continue to do those things. And I guarantee you, the more you practice it, the better you will get as you go along. Anybody else on Zoom?
Yeah, Mark. One thing that I love about Romans is Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed. So what I get from that is that God has revealed righteousness and sin, and we're all going to be held accountable for being obedient to the righteousness of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the fundamental scriptures that we talked about very early on in the book and what comes out of it. You know, you think about the Old Testament, the law that was given then, and what its purpose was. It was not to make men righteous, right? It didn't have that ability to do that. It was really to point out just how sinful men are. And sometimes that takes a little bit of wrapping your brain around it and understanding. Wait a minute. God gave us something he wants us to do. It should be inherently good, and it is good. But what it's doing is pointing out just how bad we are. I was like, I thought it was supposed to draw us closer to God, and instead, it's showing me just how far away I am from God. But of course, then Jesus Christ comes along, and he is able, through being the propitiation for our sins, take that giant chasm that there is between us sinning all the time and God, who is incapable of sin, and bringing us together, right? To be counted as righteous at that point. So thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, well, I do want to read a couple of the things that people sent, and I'm going to go ahead and mute y'all if that's okay. If you have anything else to say, just kind of wave at me or something, and I'll be able to. Good job. All right. So a few people did send me texts or an email. So I just want to make sure I do that since sent. So I got one that says, here's my statement on what I learned from our study of Romans. I've definitely learned a lot, but to sum it up, to be the most important would be peace and unity. Peace when it comes to dealing with mankind, humans. Unity that we should have when it comes to putting opinions aside that do not promote peace and the cause of Christ. Thank you for all your dedication to this class. Class is well taught. May God continue to bless you with the desire and zeal to teach others about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I appreciated those comments at the end by this person that shared it. But that's absolutely right. I mean, the entire book is about unity, drawing everybody together and saying, hey, look, y'all think y'all are different. You're not. You're both in sin, right? Everybody is the same. And how do we combat that? Well, these are the ways we do it. We treat each other the same way, the way we want to be treated, right? We show each other love and kindness and those things. We don't get upset with our brethren because we have a difference of opinion that doesn't make a hill of beans to God, right? He doesn't care about that. But what he will care about is if we start getting upset and arguing with our brethren over those things, because then that becomes a problem that God doesn't like, right? He doesn't care about an opinion that he hasn't spoken on and doesn't worry about that. So it lets you decide that, your conscience, if it allows you, let you do that. So absolutely, that peace and unity and how we deal with others is extremely important throughout the book here. Another text that I got, of course, thanked for the study that was coming on, said, I read Romans again with better understanding, knowing how it flowed from the gospel of the lost to Christian living made Paul's teaching easier to understand. You know, lots of times we go through and we learn a section of something. We take a chapter, we take a set of verses, and we study that. But what have we talked about? Learning the context of things and how important that is, and understanding where that fits in, not only within the verse within a chapter, but that chapter within the book, that book within all of the books of the Bible, right? And understanding how all that fits together. It's important to have those things and that knowledge, because then it lets you understand, oh, I see where Paul was building to this point, right? I see him going down the road. The road was a little windy, took me through some mountain passes, and I didn't know where we were going, but we've now popped out on the other side, and now I can see. Looking back, I said, that makes sense. I see what he was doing there, the argument that he was building to get me to this point. So very important to understand that context that was there. Got another email today. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. The study of Paul's letter to the Romans, penned by Tertius, as the class studied in last week, started out very deep and somewhat difficult for me to understand. Thank you for the background knowledge that helps with understanding the history and connections. I love that Paul proclaimed that he was not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile. I concluded by the scripture that Paul was a dedicated apostle who would go to any lengths in walking to proclaim God's word and to visit with Christians. He loved the fellow believers, greeted them with love, and as the tradition was, with a holy kiss. Our faithfulness and love for God is evident in how we demonstrate our love for our Christian brethren and mankind. As a note to self, I need to make more time to proclaim the word of God to others and glorify and magnify God in all ways. Once again, someone who has learned something about what Paul has written or done and using that as an application in their own life. This is where maybe I need to shore up some things. This is where I'm not as good in this area. Understanding those weaknesses are helpful to us, right? It's that self-examination. You see that in the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of a self-examination checklist that Jesus gives. Here's all the things you need to be doing. Here's how you should be acting. This is what you should be living your life like, right? And that's how we should always be doing it. Always turning it back on us and saying, am I doing this? Can I be better at it? How can I do this better, right? Those are things we need to do. And we've certainly talked a little bit about hypocrisy and being able to make sure that if you're going to judge someone, that it's a righteous judgment, meaning it's by the word of God, because we're going to be judged on that same standard. So you can't hold somebody accountable for something and saying, hey, you're not doing this when you're also not doing that, right? Okay. Who else would like to share? Let's open this up and see who wants to share something that they learned, a verse that they did, or anything. Gary?
Just taking the book as a whole, things I kind of put it all together. I think it helped me put it up, class helped me put it all together as a whole. And what I'm sitting down looking at is the gospel is God's power of salvation. We all need it. And then why we need it, and then how to use it. And it just kind of makes a whole package that it just makes sense to do. And I think the favorite verses I had was Romans 12:1-2. It says, present yourself a living sacrifice. And then it tells, verse 2 tells how. Do not be conformed, but be transformed.
That's right. That's right. You can't be like, and I love that verse as much as just about any other verse in the Bible, because it's something that shows just how you're dealing on a daily basis with the world, right? Constant influences coming in. saying, don't go that way. Be different, be transformed. And you do that by renewing your mind, studying the scriptures, exactly what we're doing. Thank you for that. Who else? Kenny?
Oh, kind of an overall look at the book of Romans. I like to use it a lot in studying with people. It talks about there in Romans 1:4, how Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And, you know, you can use that along with so many other points. But we also think about Romans 3:23. It talks about that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet when you get to the 6th chapter, verse 23, it talks about that the wages of sin is death. God is eternal life. Yet many denominations use their, I'll just call it what it is, false teaching, whenever they talk about the Roman road to salvation, and they will take things out of context, like Romans 10:13, where Paul was talking to Jew and Gentile, there is no difference, and they'll take verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you know, and try to make that stand alone. But they forget about the Roman road in Romans 6 chapter, where it talks about being baptized into Christ, tells us how to get in there. So, you know, it's just a number of verses all the way through that is so helpful in the book of Romans in studying with people to bring that out to them.
That's right. In fact, you know, Romans 2:11, there's no partiality with God. He's not a respecter of persons, meaning, hey, this has been presented to you, and everybody has the opportunity. Nobody is better than anybody else. Everybody has the opportunity to understand this. But also, if you don't follow it, if you don't listen to the words, try and apply them in your lives and do that, well, then you're going to be in the boat with everybody else who doesn't do that. He's not going to be like, yeah, but that Mark, he's kind of a good guy. I kind of really like him, so I'm going to let it slide. That's not what that verse means. That verse means I'm held accountable in the same way anybody else is held accountable for their actions. But you're right. There's so many verses you can go to that really just kind of just sum a certain point up just so well in how Paul wrote the letter. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit being with these men as they wrote the Bible. There wasn't I really could have said this better kind of thing. There's a reason that it was written in this way, or that example was used, or whatever the case may be, or that specific word was used. It's because God wanted it that way at that point. He certainly allowed these men to use their style and do those things. But ultimately, these scriptures are God-breathed. And so that means it is literally the words of God put down on paper for us. Who else? Brent?
A couple things. One, I was thinking about the density of this text and how rich it is. But how that, you think about this being a letter, it basically contains everything it needs in order to teach the principles that are contained within it. It's helpful to go to other scriptures, and other scriptures do support these truths, but just having this letter alone provides what is necessary to understand the letter. You don't have to necessarily go anywhere else. Also, I thought it was masterful how he, this being the Holy Spirit through Paul, humbles everyone, educates everyone, and then exalts everyone, but never above each other. He always puts everything within context of Christ and our relationship to each other. And I think what really sunk in to me was the clarity with which we see each one as important to the Lord, but not more important than anyone else.
Because even in the examples of the weak and the strong, right? He wasn't saying the weak are the wrong ones. That's not what was pointed out. It's saying you strong are better than your weak brethren. That wasn't pointed out in that way, right? He didn't exalt anybody over anybody else. When he did that, certainly, absolutely good points and things to take away from it. It's totally encompassing the entire book. It can be difficult to get through some parts of it, but that's why we also took 6 months to do it and not 6 days because it's necessary to understand all those things. And I certainly didn't put in everything that I had read or touched upon or had studied related to the book, commentaries or anything else. I was trying to pull out portions of it that I thought made the most sense for our study as we went through. But there is certainly a lot to it. Who else? Mac, what'd you learn from a study of Romans?
I learned a lot of study of Romans about the way it's led through it and the way in which you have to believe in the good Lord. No, not really believe in the good Lord. When you operate on me over in Columbia, you know, I stayed 6 days over there. It didn't do nothing with it. It was laid back. So they said, take him home. We brought him home, put him up in the lounge here, and left him laying there. But it wasn't counting until the little Lord had something else to do. So the next morning I woke up, but I didn't recognize nothing. Mm-hmm. And after a while, my sister started coming back to me. It's been coming back in sick.
So you got faith, right?
I've got faith. I sure do.
You certainly have faith in what is talked about in the book of Romans. Faith is talked about there, and what does that lead to? What does faith lead to?
Obedient life.
It's an obedient life, right? So those things that we do, we say, hey, we believe in Jesus. That's what the gospel is about, believing who Jesus was and what he had the power to do for us in doing that. Once we understand that and said, he did that for me, and this is what God is now asking me to do in return, which is small in comparison to what was done for me. Well, now I've got to progress along that path of doing those things, right? And understanding what it takes to do it. Now, we certainly can't earn our way into heaven. We've learned that in the book of Romans. That is not something that can be done, no matter how good you are. We're all going to sin at least once in this world, and that's enough to keep you out of heaven. Without the blood of Jesus and the grace that allowed him to come and be that sacrifice for our sins. Who else? Jim?
I noticed that he started off telling them, I'm not going to protect you. I'll leave you over to your depraved mind. And then he goes ahead and tells him how to live Christian life if you do what I say to do.
Yeah. He wants them to know, look, this is the situation that you've put yourselves in, right? You've chosen sin to do this. It's been unleashed upon the world. You're now living with it, dealing with it every day, and succumbing to it at times. And so you've put yourself into this situation. But there's a solution, right? There's always the solution. You don't ever want to go into somebody and say, well, here's the problem, and then walk away. Right? That's not helpful to the person to just say, this is the problem you have. If they didn't understand they had that problem, they're probably not going to understand how to solve that problem, are they? Right? And we certainly wouldn't be able to solve this problem of sin on our own. Right? Paul certainly couldn't solve the problem of sin on his own, and he pointed that out. He said, I've got the same issues that you all do, right? We all are having to deal with this. Even though the Holy Spirit was with him, he's an apostle of God. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. All these things which you say, okay, that guy's better than me. Paul says, I'm in that same sinful boat with all of you, right? But here's the key. Here's the thing that's going to get you out of that. But there are things that are tied to that, things we have to do. A good point, the fact that a physician has pointed out it's a problem, but the solution is given right after that.
One of my favorite verses is in Romans 8:31. God is for us, who can be against us? And the other one was in Romans 14, when it talks about that with stumbling block, but so that's just the reminder to be on the guard, what to say, what to do.
That's right, because people watch other people, don't they? Right? We watch each other and I noticed that, right? If you place something there, if you become a stumbling block for your brother or sister, that's not helping them out. That's not showing them love in that way. Certainly, if God is for us, who can be against us? You should never feel alone in this world. A lot of people deal with lots of things, depression, feeling of isolation, especially during the pandemic that was there. But what that should have given a lot of people time to do is go to the scriptures, read the Bible. When they do that, then you realize, okay, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. And that gives you an assurance, right? It gives you the hope that you have. But when you have those things, you don't feel quite as alone. You say, God's with me. He's working for me. He's doing things even I don't know about behind the scenes that are happening. And those things are allowing me to keep going, right? To not give up. Who else? Willie?
I agree. Always, all the time, praying for people. All the time, trying to say, I'm coming to you. I'd like to see you soon or whatever. You know, and he always made that extra effort to get there and do whatever was possible. And two, he always said, they might not want to hear what he had to say sometimes, you know, because they're having some straight on some issues. But he was just being straight and honest. And that's one thing I like, right? Dedicated to the Lord, no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation was.
He certainly got himself into some predicaments, didn't he? At times, he dealt with a lot of suffering because of saying, look, I'm going to be with the Lord. But what did he have? He had that assurance. He knew God's with me, right? And if he wants me to go here and talk to these people, that's what I'm going to do. And if he wants me to die at their hands, well, then he's okay with that, right? He understood that. He cared about people, didn't he? He cared about that. What did he say about the Jewish nation? If they would just believe, he would... If it took what? Himself being lost. He would give up his own salvation to sit there and say, I am willing to go to hell and eternal torment if that means that the nation that I am kin with would just accept Jesus Christ. Do we have that kind of love for our brothers and sisters? I'd say a lot of times we fall woefully short, don't we? We think about ourselves, and I want to do this, and I want to get me straight first before I worry about anybody else. Well, you can do both. You can work on yourself and the things you've got while also trying to teach and talk to other people, your neighbors, your friends, your family, whoever it is.
Read about Peter, that situation there. He died for the Lord, he said, but when it comes that time, I'm sure he meant what he said at the moment, but when death come upon him and faced him, it was a bit of a sober day, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes me wonder, would we be that, like you said, would we be that faithful or so?
And it takes preparation to be able to do that. I wouldn't expect somebody to say, well, as soon as this challenge comes along, I'm going to jump right up in the face of it and have that courage to do that. Right off, right? It takes the reassurance, the coaxing, the saying, yep, we're here with you. We're doing this thing. You get all those things and you build that person up. We build ourselves up through reading the scriptures, and we build each other up by gathering together, being there for one another. Right? Who else has something they learned and want to share? Kenny?
Something about Paul there in Romans 10. We talked about his brother and how much love and concern that he had for them, that we really should have the same kind of love and concern for the people that we come in contact today, and understand and realize that if they're not a Christian, if they've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they are separated from God. And the reality is that they are lost and they are going to lose their soul. And if the gospel is God's power and salvation, to try to share that with people are deceived so much by the things they see in the world. Me and Diane watching a movie the other night, and they were going to baptize somebody. Well, they walk out in the water, and then, they dip up a little water in their hand and they sprinkle it over the head. Well, you know, people, if they have never heard the gospel, they look at that and they say, hey, that's what it is. That's baptism. But if they read Romans 6:3-5, it points out how we are buried with him by baptism. And I use that a lot talking with people that I know that's in denominations that have been taught sprinkling is because it's the perfect place to go to. And then you get in verse 5 and it says that we've been planted together. Well, what do you do when you plant something? You know, you bury it. And that's the idea. So it's such a good way to point that out. And hopefully that the people that hear that will take to heart and say, well, you know, I need to take another look at what I believe or what I've been taught, because this says so, you know, and be convinced by that.
Yeah, those specific words were used for a reason,
right,
in doing that. Certainly the Lord is much more wise than any of us ever would even hope to be. But he understood what it would take in order to put it down in a language which we could understand. And if we studied it and looked through there and put it all together, then we'd be like, okay, I get it. This is what needs to happen. And very good. Who else? Gary?
I think Paul had a chance to change his mind. It seems all the people told to go to just after that. So, I don't know, it's the 30th year for all the writers.
His third missionary journey.
Yeah. And, you know, Bible shows so much. Anyway, he had a chance to change his mind and could have. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing making him other than the love of God to do that. And then for him to go the distance, go back to Jerusalem, you know, then come back again. That was amazing.
Yeah.
This is he had to go. And then the danger involved, you know, just think about if he had money on him going the distance and, you know, in by himself and so forth. No doubt if some of the other brother knew about some of the shady brother, sisters of oil, you know, might have saved a set of trap. But he was still willing to do that.
Yeah.
And That's the thing that makes me about it. That he knew some of the danger that was involved. He said, you know, hey.
He didn't let, he could have used those things as excuses, couldn't he?
Right.
He could have said, that's a long way to go. Think about that if you're out living somewhere and the closest congregation that you can go to is an hour and a half away. Would you be willing to drive to make it there? Or would you say, that's a long way to go? Maybe I can figure out something else, not get together with the brethren. Right? Terry?
I think did he also preach the other congregation as he was born? Yeah.
I'm sure he was stopping as he was. Yeah. And going to Jerusalem, I mean, we've certainly heard a lot about the collection that was taken up in Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and Acts 24, all these things mentioning this collection that was being done. And what I had never pieced together, at least what I believe, that portion of Galatians 2 verses 8 and 10 where it's being talked about with Paul, the difference between him and Peter, the Jews and the Gentiles, and how God is with him. For the Jews, in the same ways with me, for the Gentiles. But Peter just asked him, said, just don't forget your Jewish brethren, right? And I think this is one of those ways that he's saying, I'm not forgetting the Jewish brethren, right? It's important for me to go and take this collection that's taken up from the Gentile brethren to the Jewish brethren, and I'm going to do it personally. A, I want them to understand who it's coming from and how they should accept them as their equals. In Christ, but I'm also going to do this because I'm not going to forget about the Jews just because I was called to preach to the Gentiles.
Brent. You know, one of the things that struck me when we were studying through the class was the dynamic circumstance that was going on regarding the Jew and the Gentile at that time in the Roman Church. But what just struck me was how God's providence, and this is, you know, unless he says something is his providence, we're very hesitant to identify it. But I think you can see, looking back, the providence he had with regards to the scattering of people because of persecution. And I believe this is just the same. He used those circumstances to bring together people of disparate backgrounds and unite them in Christ. He could have just as easily just said, y'all get along. And there are times, as was pointed out Sunday, he just helped people get along. But he used these circumstances that are very dynamic and would be troublesome to express these truths. And as you said, they apply to us today and they teach us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good points. Who else? Okay.
I'm at the end of chapter 8 where it's talking about the love of God. Nothing can separate us from him. Not saying we're not going to reap the consequences of our actions. But no matter what we do, he's going to love us. And he'll always love us.
Yeah. He's been there for us. He will continue to be there for us. He's doing everything in his power to make it where we want to be a servant of his, right? Because he wants us to all be in heaven with him someday. I think about that sometimes, and I think about the judgment day and how the sheep and the goats are separated. But think about what God will go through on that day. He's going to be joyous for the ones that have come and said, yes, they followed what I asked them to do. They've done their best. And now they get their reward. But I also think there's going to be some sadness involved. But look at the greatest number that were lost, who didn't make it here. I wanted them to be here. And they didn't show up. They weren't here. They had every opportunity. I gave them every chance. I told them what I needed them to do, and they just kind of said, Think about that if you were throwing a dinner party. And you invited the whole congregation, and then four people showed up. How would that make you feel? Well, you're glad the four people are showed there, and you certainly would be a good host and want to spend time with them, but would you be saddened that what happened to all the rest of them? What was your excuse? I invited you. I thought you wanted to be here. This is all a good thing, and you didn't show. Terry.
Name knowledge, Christian, basically. I mean, he didn't just say the name, he said something about it, and positive about it. No, I'm sure they had other things in their life probably were not all that good. This was just a positive thing about these individuals. He even said, the one was better, not better, he was in Christ before him. I mean, he acknowledged that. He could have said, hey, he might have been there, but hey, I'm a man.
That's right.
And he recognized these people as individuals, not just as Christians.
That's right, because they all had something to offer, didn't they? When you see that and you realize, well, they had an impact on Paul. He understood something about them. They made an impact on him. We can make an impact on each other and the world, but we have to make sure that we do those things. Gary?
One other thing that it's kind of bookends. If you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, that's the beginning of his letter. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. If you look at chapter 16, the very last verse, or next to last, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of the faith. And that idea of bringing about the obedience of the faith, it's a result of the faith. And that's what this letter is trying to do, to bring about the obedience to the faith.
There's a succession of things that were happening, right? And one thing led to another. We see that in things. Anybody else have something that they want to share that they learned, or a favorite passage or anything else. Bob, do you have something? Let me unmute you. Hold on a second. I think you're unmuted. Yep, go ahead. You're breaking up a little bit, Bob.
Okay.
Go ahead. I appreciate that. Bob has been very faithful in coming to the class and joining us every time on Zoom and trying to be with us. So anybody going through the effort to make sure that they are here every single time is always somebody that I'm getting feedback there. That is encouraging to me to do those things. Anybody else? Kenny?
She's asked several times during the week what she learned from with the Romans, what's the thing, you know, I've been running through my mind, trying to think of one specific thing that really stood out. And I recall an article that I read about this man that got where he didn't go to the assemblies like he should. He was trying to be encouraged to come by somebody, and he said, well, you know, I've been to every assembly for such and such and such and such, and I can't remember one thing that I look back to tell you what that preacher preached on. So this guy told him, he said, well, you know, my wife prepares 3 meals a day, and I've been eating these meals for 40 years, and he said, I couldn't go back and tell you one specific thing that she had in these meals to take all, but I tell you what, I've received nourishment from every one of them. And that's the thing for Romans, when you study it and go over it, you're going to receive things that, well, you can go back a week or a month, which, but yet you receive nourishment from it. I want to thank you for teaching the class. I know the teacher always gets more than anybody else because of the time and the effort. It's a lot involved in teaching a class. So thank you for
it. You're more than welcome. One thing that I took away from it, the Holy Spirit, and how in Romans 8, verse 26, talks about him interceding for us, even in our prayers and things, that even when we don't necessarily know what we want to be asking for, he is understanding what we need and is going to God and saying, here's a faithful servant of yours. He could use some help in this area. He doesn't realize it, but maybe you could push him in that way. Maybe you could give him something that helps him in that way and do those things. We've got a lot of things working on our side. The Lord is working on our side. The Holy Spirit is working on our side. The blood of Jesus works on our side. We've been given all these gifts and all these tools to utilize to be servants of the Lord. What a waste it would be if we didn't take all those things and then utilize them, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be terrible? If you said, look, I've grown these blueberry bushes or whatever, and I want to go and give them out to all my friends and neighbors, and here, go and have a bountiful harvest from all this stuff I'm giving you. And then they just take it and they don't do anything with it. They don't plant it. They leave it out in the cold. It dies. It doesn't do them any good, right? How would you feel about all those things that you did, all that time and effort you spent in getting those things together for these people that you cared about? And they just kind of like, oh, wasn't that important to me? Let's not make God sad about all the things that he gave us to do, though, his work in his kingdom, by not utilizing it. Right? He's doing everything he can for us. And in return, we should be doing everything we can for him and for the cause of the gospel message. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed the study of the book of Romans. There's a lot in it. I know we tend to shy away sometimes from a book like that because it's hard to understand. But I hope in the teaching, what I've been able to do at least is break it down somewhat to make it a little easier, a little bit better to understand the common theme that's going throughout it and understand some of those hard passages so that we're able to better utilize it in our daily lives. But once again, I appreciate all the kind words thanking me for the things that I did to foster this class. I am just a man. Ultimately, it's about the word of God. And so that's what we have to follow. I hope that I have not said anything that was not scripturally correct in any of the weeks that we did this teaching. But if I did, you would be a friend to me to point that out to me, because I don't want to foster any error in any way when it comes to the word of God, or in any regard, I guess. But once again, I appreciate everybody attendance and efforts in doing that. If you missed anything, all of the lessons are still out on the website, so you can always get those and look at them if you need me. Does anybody have any last comments? Because next week, we will not be studying the book of Romans. Brother Brent will take over. We've got handouts in the back. It will also be on Zoom, so those of you that can't make it will still be able to utilize that medium to get there. They'll also, the handouts will be available on the website as well if you need to go and print those out from there. But be sure to pick those up. Prepare yourselves for that study as we go into it. But thank you all very much.
If we have any visitors, you're welcome at any time. We appreciate your attendance. Make sure you put a card or leave it on the pew, or either give it to one of the gentlemen. So make sure you silence your cell phones or one of the service, and there's headphones in the back if you need them. Also, the Bible class will be starting at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, and the worship will be at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, and also 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Also, out of town is James and Marcus Lee. They're in Alabama. They're supposed to be back on the 9th. Martin will be traveling out of town on the 9th and coming back on the 19th. Also, they had Painter. He's in back in town. So, also, Bill and Janice was out of town to Sunday and weekend as well. Larry and Susan Schultz, they tested positive for COVID. Winter Painter has recovered from her surgery and got an appointment on the 7th. And see what doctors say, that if everything goes well, then she'll be released, come back on to South Carolina. Sherry Dean got a good report last week also, that she's still taking her treatments. Bob has a doctor's appointments on the 7th. They'll be evaluated and see if the schedule is stay on, if surgery still stay on schedule or not. And Mr. Mackey had surgery as well this past Tuesday. Also, Colin, he was in contact with somebody from school with the COVID, so he's quarantined at home. So y'all keep all these in your prayers. as well. Also for Rahima, worship service, that would be Jim Clapp, we lead our song leading, and Brent will have the open, the invitation, and Kenny will have the opening prayer. Also the truth and love bulletin is in the back, and also the Bible readings as well, and the lesson for next Wednesday as well.
Page 109, Higher Ground, 109. I'm pressing on the upward way, through life's gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on death, on stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart and soul desire to say, where doubts arise and fears dismay, still I may bow where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Thy faith on hill, unstable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, let my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Don't let the dark set me aroof. For faith has come, the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on Him. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on Him, a stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher
Page 422, Jesus Saves. Page 422, we have Psalm of Praise.
Please turn in your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'd like to look at a text in that place. We will in a few moments go to Romans chapter 6. We'll hold our place in John chapter 8. Before we begin, I'd like to also express thanks to Mark for the fast that he has concluded and conducted these past several months. It's been a good class. I've benefited. I'm sure each of you has as well. I do encourage you to pick up a worksheet for our next Wednesday night class and back. Please, please, please understand that the worksheet is to be done, if possible, before class, so that it helps us to discuss those things that we will be discussing in class. Certainly there will be things we can add to our notes and hopefully our understanding as we go through the class. But the worksheet is there to help guide us before we come together so that we have more to talk about as we are together. In the book of John, the premise is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It begins that way in John chapter 1, and then
presents evidence for this truth throughout the rest of that gospel book. Well, in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus has said, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." There's just no two ways about it. Our salvation depends upon Jesus Christ and the fact that he is the Son of God. But further, not only that truth, but that we, each and every one, believe that truth. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who he claims to be and whom he gives evidence for, we will be lost. He is the only way to be saved. You know, this truth is not just something we need to share with the lost. It's something we ourselves need to remember, even as we are in a right relationship with him. But let's be clear. If we die in our sins, it's because of our sin. If I am lost, it's because of my sin. It's not because of my Lord. It's not because of who he is or what he has done or what he has said or promised. Sin is what will cause anyone to be lost. Hold your place here and turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, a text we made mention of tonight in our Bible class and have studied in recent weeks and months. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice this profound text, which should be very familiar to us, but which should always be important to us. And that is this, in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." We're going to pause there for just a moment. Sin brings about death. Sin brings about a separation of an individual from God, who is holy and who is our very life. Now, it is our sin that does that. Brother Robert Turner used to say, it's like a person who gets bitten by a rattlesnake. He has poison running in his veins. He's being taken to the hospital, but he dies on the way. He doesn't die because the doctor, or because he could not see the doctor. He died because of the rattlesnake venom. That's what killed him. If we die and are lost, it's because of our sin. Again, look at the text in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." While it is as our sin that will condemn us, it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who can save us and who can make this remedy possible. Now, if we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is, then we'll do whatever it is that he commands. Because he is God. He has that divine authority, that power. He is the one who created us, sustains us, and will judge us. And that's why, for example, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" It's absolute foolishness for anyone to say, "I believe in Jesus, just as he says, but I won't do what he has said to do, to be free from my sin." Jesus says, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. And so we go back to John chapter 8 and listen to the instruction and the warning of our Lord. "Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." That's why he has come here to this earth, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he lived a perfect, sinless life. That's why he presents the truth as he does, that convicts us of our sin, but also makes our relationship with him possible. That's why he gives us the command to be baptized. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." But he goes on to say, "He who does not believe shall be condemned." So we look at John chapter 8 and verse 51. And the words of the Lord said,
He said, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall not see death. That is, we can receive eternal life if we keep his word. Have you done that? Not only initially through our obedience to the gospel, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but have you been keeping his word as a baptized believer, as one who recognizes and acknowledges and gives lip service that he is the Son of God? Let our lives demonstrate that. Let us continue faithfully each and every day so that we might not only be with him in the after while, but that we might win others to Christ as well through our life and through our teaching. If you're here tonight and your life is not as it ought to be, you're separated from God by your sin, please accept his invitation. Make your life right through obedience to the gospel. Won't you please come while we stand, while we sing the song that's been sung.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Spread the news to every land. Climb the seas and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Heaven sent far and wide. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Sing ye island of the sea, echo back the ocean wave. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. I did death and endless life. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart of mercy prays, sing and try for the tomb. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Shout the nation bold and free. High is hill and deep is grave. This our song of victory. Jesus saved, Jesus saved.
Can we say it's good to have everybody with us? Like to commend those on Zoom that were helping us out with our closing song tonight. We appreciate y'all being here and taking time out to join us. We appreciate the comments y'all made earlier. Nothing further at this time. We plan to see everybody Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.